Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green. And on today's episode, we're going to look at using Visual Studio 11 to build Metro-style apps. Last week, we built these apps using XAML. And so this week, we're going to build them using JavaScript. And I think the two episodes combined will hopefully give you a good insight into how you start using Visual Studio to build Windows 8 Metro-style apps. Okay, so I want to follow a very similar script to what we did last time. File new project, look at the templates that come in Visual Studio, add a little bit of code, and then build an application that starts with one of those templates and swap out the fake data for real data. And that's what we'll do. Okay, so to begin, file new project. Last week we looked at the XAML templates. Here they are, just to refresh. Today we're going to look at JavaScript. And there are a number of templates. We're going to look at the blank application, the grid, and the split application. So just to start out, let's create a blank application, which, as the name implies, is going to be blank. Not a lot of boilerplate in there. Not a lot of existing stuff. What do we have? We have a default HTML, which has nothing in it. We have one JavaScript file, default.js, which basically starts the app. We've got some CSS. We have a default CSS, just some basic styles. Nothing in there, actually. And some images. Okay, so it doesn't get any blanker than this. So let's go into default.html, and let's add a little bit of UI, which I have lovingly crafted prior to this. Here it is. So what we're going to have on this page is a button to capture photos, and then we're going to have an image. So I'm going to take a picture and display it in this image here. That's it. Okay, so now I need to write a little bit of code. So let's go into default.js. And what I want to do is add a function here, and I have a snippet for this, take picture. Okay, so what we're going to do in this function called capture photo is we're going to use some built-in Windows runtime or WinRT classes. So in the windows.media.capture namespace, there is a method called camera capture UI. And I'm going to set an aspect ratio to 16:9. So this dialog, which is what Camera Capture UI returns, so it's basically some UI that's asking me, is it okay to take a picture? I'm going to set the aspect ratio to 16:9. That's the cropped aspect ratio. And then I'm going to call the capture file async method, which is going to access this computer's ability to take a picture. Okay? And the code that's going to run after that, if I get a file back, I'm going to display it in the image. So document.getElementById, image holder, I'm going to set the source to whatever this code returns, which is the picture that was taken. Okay, then the only other thing I'm going to do in this extremely simple demo is hook up an event handler to that button. And you'll see this done in a couple ways. This, I think, is the simplest. On the process all, I'm going to say done. And then when it's done, I'm going to call a function. And what's that function going to do? It's going to go into the document. We're going to get element by ID. What element? Button 1. Then we're going to add an event listener. What event are we listening for? Click. What code are we going to call? Capture photo. And I'm going to supply false for this last parameter. And that is it. Format it. Looks good. Build it. Looks good. Run it. Here's a Metro style app written with JavaScript. And when I click capture photo, the app says, the app needs permission to use your camera, but it doesn't have permission to use your camera. And that is because in a Metro-style app, you need to ask permission. You need to identify that you're going to be doing these things. So if I go into the package, into the package manifest, so double-click package.appxmanifest, this is where I do things like set the display name. These are essentially the application properties, display name, description. But for our purposes here, I need to go into capabilities, and I need to declare that this application is going to have the capability of taking a picture. The only capability that's checked by default is internet. This is true for both JavaScript and XAML applications. So by default, your applications can go out onto the web, but they can't do any of these other things, like write to the pictures library, write to the documents library, write to the music library, use the microphone, your location, or, for our purposes here, access the webcam. So I'm going to check webcam, save this, and run it again. And now, when I click capture photo, I'm going to get that UI, can blank application use your webcam? I'll say yes. And here's the webcam. If I move this way, I can block that, or kind of get that halo effect behind me. There we go. And remember when I set the aspect ratio to 16 by 9? There that is. Perfect. I'll say OK, and the picture gets displayed in the application. Not a half bad picture. I was practicing this earlier, and the pictures weren't that good, but there's good lighting here in the studio. Okay, let's go back to Visual Studio. Stop that. Now if we go out to the start screen and scroll over to the right, here's that application, blank application. And if I run this again, it doesn't ask me if it can use the webcam because I already said it could. And as I've noticed on these laptops, if you push the screen to take a picture, the webcam is actually on the display part of the computer, so it shakes back and forth. So let's retake this and hold this. Much better. Okay, enough pictures of me. And to close this, I drag down, drag all the way down. And as I showed last time, you can do this with the mouse or with your finger. If I want to swipe this with my finger, I can select it or right-click it, uninstall it. Let's get rid of this while we're here. And let's get rid of the Beaver Apocalypse. We'll uninstall that as well. Okay, so that's a blank application. Let's create another application, and this time let's explore the grid application and the split application. So the grid application is a multi-page project that navigates among groups of items. So the main page is going to display groups and the items in them. Then there is a page for displaying a single group with the items in it, and then the third page displays individual items in a group. So let's call this a grid application. Okay, we get a few more files. We still have the default HTML, which just basically declares my references and a main content host with page navigation. And then the pages that I want to look at are in the HTML folder, grouped items. This is the first page that will show up, and it's going to display groups of items, hence the name. And we're going to be using a list view. So down here in this div class called grouped items list, label list of groups, what control are we going to use? winjs.ui.listview. And we're going to turn off selection mode. We don't want people to be able to select groups in the list. We do want people to be able to click on an item, but not select the whole group. Okay. Then let's look at the a little bit of the JS that goes with that, the grouped items page JS. What we're going to do is we have this variable called data, and we'll look at data in a second. That actually comes from data.js, but data.groups.getAt. So we're going to populate this with groups, and then if I select one, I'm going to get that group. And we're going to display these in a list view. We specify that we want to use this header template back out in grouped items page. So here's the template we're going to use to display the items, item template. Okay. And on invoked, and then we're going to down here get the group data source. So we go into data, we get the groups, we get the items, and then bind the list view to the groups. Okay. Then if we select a group, here is the group detail page where we're going to have another list view, and that's going to contain the items in that group. The first list view contains all the groups. The second list view contains the items in the group. Let's go into group detail page JS. Again, set up the list view, grab the data, do the typical binding, groups.data source, and then set up the list view with the data source and the template that we want to use and what happens if I select one. And then similarly, item detail page, we're just going to show a particular item, so all we need is the title, the subtitle, the image, and the content. And then the actual script for that just grabs data and populates the controls on the page. And then to get data, we just make it up. It's all sample data and it's completely made up. So if we run this, let's actually go back. Let's set a breakpoint. In group items page JS, let's set a breakpoint right here. Okay, run this, and I can see the groups. Again, fake data. If I select an individual one, here is this item. If I come back and click on a group header, then I'm going to show the items in a group. And not hit my breakpoint. Oh, because I put the breakpoint in the code checking to see if we were in snapped view, which we never were. So let's call this out and let's go, what page was that on? That was in grouped items. So if we snap this, there we go, now the breakpoint. And then select one of these. There we go. Now we hit the breakpoint. Okay. So if you set random breakpoints, then you can't predict when they're going to be hit, it turns out. Okay. Last week when we were looking at XAML apps, we showed how the application needs to be able to adjust to fill mode, which is sort of this three quarters view. When we go to snapped mode, instead of the list view showing horizontally, the list changes to show vertically. So everything is now vertical on this page. And the application as well needs to support portrait mode as well. And when we switch back to this full mode, this landscape full mode, then the application goes back to showing things more horizontally. We saw that in XAML that was done with Visual State Manager. In JavaScript, it's done with media queries. So if we go in, for example, and look at the grouped items page, down here, we do a media query. When we're in snapped mode, here's how we're going to adjust the page. Here's how we adjust for full screen portrait, snapped, and full screen landscape. Okay? And then you can also check for fill, which is sort of that three-quarter, but usually you leave fill the same as the full screen landscape. You just get less real estate. Okay. And then we showed that you could check this not only on the computer, the local machine, but also run in the simulator. So let's run this application in the simulator, which simulates how it's going to look on a tablet device. And that gives us the ability easily to rotate this and see what happens, as well as change the resolution and see how the built-in controls automatically adjust. And of course, we can take a snapshot. And then if we come down here, There, we took a screenshot of the application. Okay. Let's shut this down, close the simulator, and let's look at another project type. Let's look at the split application. The split application is two pages. The first page is the same. It shows me groups and the items in them. And then the second page shows me the items for the group on the left and each individual item on the right. So in the grid application, I have the ability to see all of the items in a group and individual the details for an item. That takes two pages. In the split application, it's all done on a single page. So let's call this split application. Create that, and again we have two pages. The items page shows me the items in a group using a list view. The split page is going to be kind of split in half. We've got a list of items on the left and then details over on the right. Same fake data and very similar code in the JavaScript to retrieve data and populate the list views. So if we run this, here's our main page showing the groups. If I select a group, the items appear on the left, and if I select one of these, I see the details for that on the right. Come back, I can select another group, and back and forth. Okay, so that is the three templates. Similarly to XAML, we have a blank application template, we have a grid application template, and a snapped application template. I'm sorry, split application template. So now what I want to do is build an application that uses some real data. And I'm going to do this similarly to how I did it last week with the XAML. I'm going to start out with a grid app, then I'm going to swap out the fake data for real data. So let's build a grid application, and I'm going to call this Fabricam Fiber. Okay. And last week when I got real data, I had a pre-existing project that retrieved the data. Same thing this time, so I'm going to add an existing project to this, which is my data service. Hey, this is C# code written by my good friends Brian Randall and John Flanders. So again, props to them for writing this for us. And we can see that in this middle tier, we've got some data coming from the Fibercam Fiber Express database. If I double click on this, again, this is a feature of Visual Studio 11. It's got nothing to do with Windows 8 or Metro, but the Server Explorer gives me the ability to look at the contents of a SQL Server database. So I have tables in here, I can view customers, and I can see that there are service tickets, and there are employees, and there are schedules. Okay, so my service folks are out taking care of customers who have reported issues. And then we've got an entity framework model around this, and we serve this up as a service, WCF service. It's going to look like this. Okay. So now what I want to do is stop using this fake data and use the service which retrieves data from the database. Okay, so I'm going to get rid of all of this. I don't need any of this code in here. I'm going to delete the entire contents of data.js. And then I'm going to go into default.js and right under use script, I'm going to replace this line of code with data func. That's my snippet. I'm going to create three groups, morning, afternoon, evening. And then I'm going to get items from group. Okay, so I got some code there. This is just kind of boilerplate. What I'm going to do, come down here, replace this with a snippet that actually calls this service. So I'm going to call fabricamdata.svc, which again is this. Okay, and I'm going to bring this data down. It's coming from JSON as JSON data, and I'm going to get the first name, the customer's first name, the last name, address, city, street, city, zip, etc. Okay, and then I'm going to define my data. I've got grouped items, I've got groups, and I'm going to retrieve this data. Okay, build this, run this, and we see we got a good start. We've got the 9 to 12. We've got some customers in here, and we can see what their ticket request was. Okay. All right, so that's a good start. I need a little bit more. I'd like to see some icons in here and some graphics. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the finished version of this rather than build all the rest of it out piece by piece. It's really not what this is about. As we said last week, this series is really more of an introduction into how you use Visual Studio, not so much the actual code you're going to write. So let's just add a couple lines of code here, one to get images. So I want to create an array called img with the various images that are appearing, set top repair, phone new, phone repair, etc. And then I'm going to have to go get those because I don't actually have them in my project. So I'm going to add existing items to this. Go out to the folder where these things reside. The middle tier images, yep. And then I need anything that begins with icon. Okay, so these are images like this. I was hoping that you'd see images, but instead it's showing me the contents of it. That's not what I want. All right, then I need one more. I need to adjust this code to not just display the text, but also display the images. Save this, build it, run it. Okay, so now that's better. Now I've got my groups, I've got images, which will need a little bit of adjusting, but we're definitely getting there. Okay. And so again, all I did was rather than use the fake data, I made a call to a service using winjs.xhr, return the data from the service, and then I bind it to the controls in here. And with a little bit more messing around, the final application winds up looking like this. So the images are scaled properly. I've got a background going on here. And then if I click on this, I can call out to a map. Oh, it thinks I'm in California. No wonder. That's interesting. When I tried this earlier, it knew that I was here in Redmond. Now it thinks I'm here we go. Now it understands that I'm at Microsoft, and here's how you get to this customer. It took a while for the location to catch up. Okay, that's a little bit better. So now this application's pretty good looking and does the types of things that I would want it to do. Okay. And again, both of those applications are displayed out here. Here's Fabricam Fiber. Here's the one that I built from scratch. And here's the version that we were just running that is the final version of this. Okay. So without getting into a lot of detail again about how to build the applications and the code you need to write, this is how you get started using Visual Studio to build Metro-style apps that you build with JavaScript. And it took less time to do this run through than it took last week, and that's because the programming model is very similar between whether you're building the Metro style app with XAML or with JavaScript. So in both cases, you have three templates you can start with: the blank, the grid, the split. Whether you're using JavaScript or, where is it, Metro style, blank, grid, split. And the applications start out looking very similar, although one's done with XAML, of course, the other's done with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So if you want more information on where you can go to learn more about this, same advice as last week, go to the Windows Dev Center and head down to Getting Started and Tutorials and run through this JavaScript tutorial, which starts you off with File, New Project, and then you build a blog reader, which winds up looking kind of like that. So you'll see a lot of the HTML you can use, you'll see some CSS, you'll see a fair amount of JavaScript. Highly recommend that you come to the Dev Center and go through this, and then as well, look at the samples. We talked about this last time, but again, download this Windows 8 Consumer Preview Metro Style App samples. There are 164 of them in HTML5, 164 in XAML, so anything from how do you do a splash screen to how do you do background tasks, semantic zoom, use list views, etc. How do you read and write to files? There's a ton of good samples. Download those. Just download the whole thing. Don't do them individually. Just get the entire collection. And that, along with the tutorials and the other good information on the Dev Center, will get you started building applications. So these two episodes, last week's and this week's, are your introduction to using Visual Studio 11 to build Metro-style apps. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you download the Windows 8 Consumer Preview and Visual Studio 11 Beta, whether you get Ultimate or Visual Studio 11 Express for Windows 8. Either way, you can do everything we just did here. Start playing around with it, build some Metro-style apps, eventually build good ones, get them in the store, make a little money, and have fun. We'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.